Today on the Snail Trail 4x4 podcast, Jimmy gets pulled over and Tyler plays with a chainsaw. Welcome one, welcome all to the Snail Trail 4x4 podcast. If you like going off-roading in Toyotas, wrenching on Toyotas, camping in Toyotas, and maybe even poking a little bit of fun at Toyotas, and of course hearing about how awesome quick-release license plates are, then this is the podcast for you. I am your host today, Tyler, and sitting here on the other side of the recording studio today is no one. That's right. Jimmy has abandoned me and went wheeling without me. He's actually up, heading up to Barrett Lake right now as I'm speaking with the Wheeling Wine and Whiskey guys. So we actually had such a good time talking about the trips that we've been doing, and mainly Jimmy's been doing, that we decided to split that episode into two. So you guys heard the first part yesterday, Thursday. Today is going to be the second part of the two-week adventure, where we both actually got to go on an invite-only trip with Power Tank. So that was really a lot of fun. You guys get to hear all about it. But huge shout out to the guys over at Power Tank. They're a really fun crew. They put together a bunch of great guys to go wheeling with for the weekend. So without further ado, let's get right on over into all of the fun happenings with the Power Tank crew. So the next day, or next weekend, I should say,
yeah,
we went and did a really fun trip with our buddies from Power Tank.
Mm-hmm.
So, we went out and we got invites from Steve and Tyler, because Steve and Tyler's he'd be fun to get an invite from. But anyways,
yeah.
Steve and Tyler. Steve's the owner of Power Tank. Tyler does all their social media stuff. So, really cool guys. And they have a really nice first gen 4Runner that Steve has. It's on 35s, so he gets a bunch about his 35 inch tires, because he goes in wheels with all these Jeeps that are running minimum 38s to 40s.
Right.
So that was funny. He did everything that those guys did and made a lot of it look pretty easy. So
you and I showed up. And yeah. Steve has 35s. You have 36s. I have 37s. Yeah. And then the Jeeps
FJ Cruiser had 35s, I think.
Uh-huh. And all the Toyotas had under 37s. And then there was these Jeeps that had 38s through 40s.
I think the one was on 42s.
Adams,
yeah.
Really?
I think so.
That one guy on Instagram?
Oh, that one dude on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure he's on the 42-inch Baja MTZs.
I don't know.
40s? I don't know. He's not running the Bajas. I think somebody else is running. The other guys are running the Bajas. He's running something else now.
So where did we meet? Where did we start? How did all that lay out for the trip?
So the trip, they started down in Lodi near the Power Tank facilities. And they had a couple different places along the way. Like, they plan on, you know, going up to Jackson by this time. And gassing up in Murphy's at this time, being at the trailhead at this time kind of thing. And I was like, I'm not going to go backtrack and spend 3 hours going down to Lodi. I'll just meet you guys up there at a certain time at the gas fill up. And I said, you know, but instead of doing it in Murphy's, I'm going to fill up in Arnold, because again, I like to fill up as close to the trail as possible. So those people know where their income's coming from. And so I got there and I knew that they were supposedly going to be passing Arnold roughly, I don't remember what it was, 9:30, 10 a.m., something like that. I don't remember. I think it was 10 a.m.
Yeah. It was 11.
11. It was that late in the day. So I guess so. And that's right. It was, because I showed up early in Arnold to one of the guys from one of my clubs lives in Arnold, and he had a bunch of camping equipment that he was like, I have no use for all this camping equipment. If you want some to help replace your gear that was stolen, you know, you're welcome to come by and have at it. So I showed up an hour early to hang out with him for a little bit. Thank you, Tim. So we went up and I gassed up at the end of Arnold
just before going up Highway 4. And I was like, you know, I'm still like 15, 20 minutes early. I'd rather not just sit around here at the gas station because my 4Runner is very boring to sit around in right now.
Yeah.
I have no music, no nothing. And so
you bought headphones.
I did buy headphones there at that gas station. So I ended up Highway 4 and I just went to the trailhead and I was like, I'll just go to the trailhead. I'll have, you know, an early lunch, hang out and just wait for you guys. Cause I know you're going to have to hit the trailhead eventually. And hopefully you wouldn't sit around and wait cause you guys knew I was ahead of you.
Yes.
So Tyler knew. I know Tyler knew that I was ahead of you guys.
Yes. Well, we got a message from you saying that there was an accident.
Yeah.
And that was early, and we're like, well, he's ahead of us.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, yeah.
So,
because I met them in Murphy's.
Okay.
So I cut across. I didn't go down to Lodi and then out. I just went straight over to Murphy's as well.
Cool. So I went out. I hung out at the trailhead. I had my lunch. So I got there maybe 35 minutes, maybe 40 minutes before you guys did. And I found out why. Because I thought I was only like 5 to 10 minutes ahead of you guys at that point in time. And I ended up being 35 to 40 minutes ahead. And it was because you guys stopped to air down as soon as you hit the dirt. And I just went on through and aired down at the trailhead.
Right.
So,
but we also did, like, we tried texting. Did you get all my texts?
I don't think I ever did.
On the Tyler and Jimmy text thread?
Maybe, yeah.
Because we thought you were meeting us at the gas station.
Yeah.
And so we sat there and waited for a while.
Oh.
And then I was like, you know what? He's probably like where the trail turns to dirt and figures he's going to wait there and air down. Uh-huh. And so where we got to where the road turns to dirt, you weren't there. And they're like, well, what should we do? Yeah. I'm like, he knows where to go.
Yeah.
Like, he knows what to do.
Yep.
So then when we drove all the way to like where the trail head is, you were there.
Yeah.
But they kept saying like, where is he? Where is he? Yeah. I'm like, I have no idea. And you like were out of cell reception. You were out of cell reception at that time. You know, so I couldn't get a hold of you.
And that was the thing. Like I figured I was 5 to 10 minutes ahead of the group, but I didn't know if I was leaving Tim's, because at one point in time, Tyler said that they left like 20 minutes early from Lodi.
Right.
So I was like, oh man, I don't know if I really am ahead of you guys or not. So
yeah, I got that text and I beat them to Murphy's.
Okay.
And I was a minute or so, like, I was like, I think we were supposed to meet at Murphy's at like 10:40 or something. And I showed up at like 10:45.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, nobody's here. Like, did they leave already?
It
like,
was that a on? Slow time getting across there or something.
I don't know what it was.
So, yeah, I wasn't, I was pretty sure I was ahead of the group, but I wasn't 100% sure if I was ahead of the group. So I was like, I'm just going to book it on down to the trailhead.
Okay.
If anything, I'll find you guys airing up. I shouldn't be that far behind you. So I figured, hopefully you guys are smart enough to know that I was probably ahead of you. And to just keep going. I figured you would probably wait a little bit at the gas station, but I thought you would just go all the, just wait my 10, 15 minutes. If I'm not there, then head on down. So yeah.
Tyler was like, Tyler, Power Tank Tyler, was like, can't you reach him on the radio? I was like, he doesn't have one. All his radios got stolen. I have a radio in my truck to hand to him. So while we're out on the trail, we can have communications. Yeah. But he doesn't have a radio. Like, I can't cue him up on a repeater or anything. Like, and so they were like, I forgot about that.
So we got down and everybody was aired down. So I had to air down real quick and we lined up, got some pictures and then headed down the trail. And
there was nine rigs
total. Nine so rigs. There was, 1, 2, 3, 4 Toyotas and 5 Jeeps.
Yep.
And one of them, Adam's Jeep, really super nice Jeep, had Frenched in shock towers to the frame and it was really nicely done. So he had the whole top cut off, hard top cut off, and did the B-pillar delete with a cage on it. So, really nicely done. I'm pretty sure he was on 42s. I remember looking and thinking, oh, he's bigger than the other Jeep's tires.
Yeah, maybe.
And the other ones are on 40s. So, the Power Tank Jeep, the JL, the Power Tank JL was on 40s. And then all the Toyotas were on 37s or smaller.
Right.
So, it was fun. We made it through the trail pretty quickly. No issues, really. We had to stop a couple times and get the FJ Cruiser.
There was one issue.
Through spots.
We had the CJ, I think it was.
Well, that wasn't really until the wind chill.
Okay.
So, yeah, we made it through up to the wind chill. There was not too many issues.
Right.
Yeah, people were, we stopped and kind of hung out and watched everybody go down individually down the staircase.
Mm-hmm.
So that was fun to just kind of watch everybody. And that was when we started talking to everybody about gearing in the Toyotas.
Yeah.
And everyone was like, oh, yeah, you know, I've got a two-speed Atlas in my Jeep and blah, blah. And I'm like, oh, cool. What are you geared to? And he goes, oh, finals, you know, 89 to 1, 90 to 1, yeah. Something like that. And I was like, oh, that's cute.
Yeah. Maybe he was in the hundreds, like yeah. 108 or something. But yeah, they were... And you're like, well, I'm 250 to 1.
Yeah, I'm 250 to 1. They're like, what? How do you do that? I was like, just dual cases and gearing, special gears.
I have like 70 cases.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, 1,500 to 1 in the Marlin crawler rig. So, yeah, so that was fun. We just got down and had a nice relaxing day traveling out there. Nobody really had any issues until... We got to the wind chill.
Right.
And so the wind chill, that thing is dug out right now.
It is gnarly.
That's pretty gnarly. I was surprised.
I remember the messages coming through and they were like, everybody should have an easy time until the wind chill, but I'm pretty sure everybody will be able to make it.
Yeah, we were in a really geared group. Everybody was, you know, big tires, nice, good suspensions. Mm-hmm. Everybody was locked front and rear, except for the FJ Cruiser. He was on 35s and A-track in the front, electronic locker in the rear. But it was, I mean, we're a really capable group, capable group of rigs. And we got to the wind chills and had some
and experienced wheelers.
And experienced. Everybody had a lot of experience.
Everybody was great wheelers. I saw the very clean Jeeps at first and I was like, oh man, like these guys, their rigs are clean. Uh-huh. They, you know, they don't have a lot of rock rash on their rims. Uh-huh. You know, like this is not like I'm going to have to walk these guys through some of the parts of these obstacles. And then they were ahead of me and they were like going faster than I was, you know, down the trail. And they were, you know, like I would watch Adam, that one dude, and he would hit the big rock on the side of the road just to hit the big rock.
Yeah,
and
I'm like,
okay, I like these guys.
Yeah.
They're cool.
Yeah.
And yeah, their rigs did great up that wind chill. Mm-hmm. All of them, all three of the guys that were out there that had JKs, or they're all JKs, I believe. They all went up
all
that section, no problem.
Mm-hmm.
They all that wind chill, no problem. Did great. We did a cool thing, which which was smart, is because when you wheel up the wind chill, it was really rocky at the bottom. Then there was these two, like sort of ledges that you kind of had to climb to make a hard driver turn, then to climb
a hairpin
driver turn to climb another ledge of rocks.
It was not really a ledge. It was
It was like three boulders in a row.
Three big ass boulders, like smart car sized boulders that you have to climb up and over. Right. So it ends up being a big ledge.
And then we would stop in the middle of the trail right there.
Yep.
And then that way, if somebody's having problems getting up to that point, the rig was right there to
they
help.
Had a winch anchor.
And so if somebody made it past that point, then the rig in front went and did the rest of the hill, and that other rig sat there and waited for the next person to come up. And we sort of played this little ladder of helping each other get up the hills, which Bobcat didn't need it. Mm-hmm. You know, your 4Runner did fine. Mm-hmm. The Jeeps did fine. But the FJ Cruiser had a tough time.
Mm-hmm.
And he had to winch on off of Bobcat to get up.
Mm-hmm.
We had to use a snatch block off of the tree and then to Bobcat, and he got up one ledge, and then we had to winch him up the other ledge and then winch him through
the very final part.
And he was pulling Bobcat backwards
because
he was so heavy, and Bobcat's brakes aren't the best. And even I was against a big rock.
He was pulling you and the rock. Like you were up lodged on that rock and it was pulling, dragging everything with it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And so Adam, that one dude, he pulled up and we added another winch to this system and then it worked out fine.
Yep.
But then the CJ.
So the CJ, a really nicely built CJ, was on four linked. I think the rear was double triangulated. And it was a really nice built rig. It had a Dana 300 in it, so you could split the front and rear and, you know, do front digs if you needed to. And he made use of it trying to come up and around, but he had an issue with his transfer case, his T case, his Dana 300. So he got to a point where he would try and, you know, apply power and he wouldn't get any power to the rear. So his rear tires would not turn, and there was a very loud grinding noise every single time. That sounded like almost like splines had gotten like sheared off. Splines got sheared off, and they were dragging against each other inside of a tube. So we were rather confused. It wasn't like a metallic grinding. It was like a click, 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 kind of noise.
Yeah, it was really raspy.
It was very raspy. It wasn't like a metallic clanging noise. So I was kind of confused about it for a while, and I was like, something's going on weird. So he didn't have rear power, but he had front power just fine. So we were like, okay, it's something to do with his rear output on his T case. Something in there is going wrong. Either his output shaft splines got all messed up, or something inside one of his gears or messed up on the output. So we're like, okay, let's just get him up the hill and find out what's going on. So that's kind of when I took over with the recoveries, setting up the snatch block off the tree and getting it up through everything. That was fun. So that's what I live for.
Right.
The recovery stuff and wheeling. But got him up there and got him up and through and, you know.
And he was the second person to go up?
Second person to go up, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's when he had, because we had the first guy go up, Steve. He didn't really have too many issues. He walked right up in his 80, his Forerunner.
So he was the third. Because then Adam
came after, and then the CJ. And
Scott.
So Adam went up, and we had Adam kind of come up, and then he pulled way down to the top of the little clearing area on the left where the spectator spot is. And we were like, okay, we can just kind of have him winch off the tree if we need to get somebody up this little section here.
Right.
And then we found out that once he didn't have rear drive in the CJ, we're like, okay, now we're going to set up the system of kind of leapfrog, not really leapfrog, but sitting in the middle of the trail halfway up and then moving shifting everybody up as the next person comes up.
Yeah.
So, the CJ ended up making it through. Adam pretty much pulled him, towed him up the rest of the hill. And then I came up after him, or... I think I was... No, maybe. You were next.
Was I?
Yeah, you were next. There was somebody, and then somebody was right after you.
I think the other Jeeps went.
No, because they were the very end.
CJ was... I thought CJ was...
I think
I was
after the CJ.
No.
So I came up after the CJ because I didn't need any winching or anything.
I thought Christian was ahead of me.
The
red Jeep.
The red Jeep.
It doesn't really matter.
Doesn't matter. Whoever.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter who it was. But anyways, I came up, and I was at this point, I had aired down again because I was figured out throughout the trail, I was kind of bouncing off rocks rather than going over them.
Yeah.
And so I aired down again, down to 3.5 PSI.
Oh, geez.
From our little stop at the river. And I was like, all right, guys, I'll show you what 3.5 PSI can do. And I was fully expecting to like get hung up on things because I'm lower now.
Yeah.
And so, and I didn't get caught up at all. And I walked right up it, didn't spin out at all. I had traction the entire time. And everyone's kind of looking at us after we, you know, brought the CJ up. And we had to finagle around with Steve quite a bit, throwing rocks under for him. And then I just kind of walked right up everything.
I think you went up ahead of me.
Yes, you were back because the FJ Cruiser was behind you.
Yes, but I remember them saying something like, let's see if you can do it without spinning a tire too.
Yeah.
And after the hairpin turn, I slid into a little hole on those, trying to climb those other rocks. And they're like, reverse this way and go up high on driver. And then and I walked up it after that.
Yeah. Yeah. So we get it up. We got up that hill just fine. The JL on 40s had a lot of issues getting high centered on things. Because they built that more as a quote-unquote lower center gravity rig.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I'm all for lower center gravities, but you can't sacrifice your belly pan height, in my opinion, for rock crawling. Like, you can do that if you have a lightweight buggy style rig. Then you can go for lower center gravities, because then if you get caught up on your belly pan, you just kind of, you have enough traction usually to help get yourself off and enough down travel.
Yeah.
And so the JL was getting caught up on quite a few things, getting up that hill on the belly pan, the skid plates there. So we eventually hooked him up to winch to me, and then we got up past the top obstacle, and he didn't really have to winch, but he took a very interesting line going up the top obstacle there.
So
it was pretty. I wish I had my camera on me. Let's say that it just went way up in the air. The front end climbed up about 6 feet.
Whoa,
up in there, and I was like. I mean, I was trying because he started going up it, and I was like, no, wait, you did it. And he's had traction. He was going up. I was like, okay, let's see how this goes. And he just whoop, went right up it.
Yeah.
But anyways, so yeah, that was a fun hill. The windshield there is definitely dug out. All the rocks that were on the hill are down at the bottom of the hill right now.
Yeah.
So if you need to pull up any rocks to stack, you're going to have to hike rocks up from the bottom of the hill to stack up to if you need to stack rocks for people. So that's a fun little hill there. We got everybody through that and then went out to the rock pile to play.
Yeah.
And what happened at the rock pile there, Jimmy?
Well, Steve, the owner of Power Tanks, on his 35-inch tires, did a really kind of cool line.
Yeah.
out there. He kind of went perpendicular to some of the rocks and walked up this really awesome line and, you know, was like sort of sandwiching his tires between two big rocks and, you know, having a little bit of traction, but his like rear diff was 4 feet off the ground or something like that, you know, where if it would have slid one way or another, he would have had some serious problems. And he walked up it great.
Yeah.
Like that rig did wonderfully.
Uh-huh.
And then you were like, I want to do that line.
Yeah.
And you ran back to your rig and jumped in it and went and did the line. And then Adam went up and he went up this
there's no line there. There is, but really? There's a line there?
And
you're kind of looking at it. You're like, okay.
And he didn't make it.
No.
He came close, but he didn't make it. So then he backed down and then he went around another way up some like ledge rock. And then I was like, well, I'm going to go the same way Tyler went.
Yeah.
And so I started to go up that and I have like little kickouts on my rock sliders.
Yeah.
And my little both side, like I couldn't fit through the rock.
Yeah. Your kickouts kept grabbing.
Both sides of my kickouts were catching on the rocks at the same time and it was stopping me.
Yeah.
And then so I was like, well, let's try to like lean it over on a side and see if I can go up. And
up the interesting line that Adam was trying to get up and couldn't get up. Yeah.
And I started climbing pretty well. The truck was doing pretty good. And I was climbing up it and I was headed up and I was coming close and I was trying to like put my passenger tire on this spine and trying to hold it and get traction. And then I'm not entirely sure you were back there, but I either reversed back or came off a rock or slid sideways or I was at a crazy angle
because
my tire was like 2 feet off the ground in the driver's side front.
Yeah.
And, punched my passenger side rear taillight into a rock.
What happened was you didn't punch it into the rock. You were up. So there was two splines you had to climb, right? Well, three splines on three tires. And so your front two tires had to climb a spline and your bottom, your rear passenger tire had to climb a spline. And that slid off of a spline. You went sideways into your quarter panel on the rear rock.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, I'm just going to keep climbing. So you just climbed and the rock went, and then caught the lens, just ripped the whole lens off into pieces.
Yeah. And so the housing and everything's still there. All the bulbs are there. They work. That just left a bunch of pieces. We threw a bunch in the bed of the truck, cleaned up. But I couldn't make it up.
No.
I couldn't make it up that line.
You were so close,
I know.
Though. And there was a couple times when I just loved your reaction. You were going up and when your tire went 2 feet up in the air, everyone goes, whoa, 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 whoa. And everything's just stopped. And everyone's like, what are you doing? I don't remember what. Somebody said something like, are you going to continue? And you're like, well, you guys, everyone's yelling at me to go, whoa, whoa, whoa. I figure that means stop.
Yeah. Somebody was like, I can't believe your face. You looked so scared. And I'm like, well, you guys are going, whoa, 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 whoa at me. I'm like, what's going on? I feel fine. Like, I feel almost level.
Yeah.
Like, you know? And they're like, yeah, your tire's lifted up pretty good. And so I tried it a little bit more. I gushed out some power steering fluid onto my exhaust. I started smoking a little bit. And I couldn't make it. I just couldn't make it up the line. I was actually talking to Steve today and I was like, I wonder if I aired down more, if I would have gotten more traction. And he was like, I wonder if you would have aired up more, if you would have cleared your rear shackle.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I was only getting hung up for the most part on my passenger side rear shackle.
You were going at such an extreme angle that your rear shackle was hitting one of the rocks at the bottom of it.
Yeah.
And that's where you were getting caught up on. And we were just looking at it. We were like, God, if we could just get up past that little spot there, uh-huh. I think you could have it. You just weren't getting enough traction on the front end.
Right.
To pull yourself up.
There's a video of Christian standing behind my rig, throwing rocks from behind my rig, underneath my rig, and
into the tire
yeah. to try to get it just to pop up that little bit.
Yep.
And he threw like three or four, mm-hmm. and it didn't go.
No.
And so then that one dude hooked up a rope to the top and pulled me over the top, and he was like, I didn't even pull you. You did something because I made it over, but I realized that I was just that close. Like, I just needed uh-huh. something, you know, just
you
to
just
get me
needed
up
your
over.
Front end pulled down. Like, we were even thinking if you had a suck down winch,
yeah,
it would. We honestly think if you had a suck down winch, you would have made it up.
Yeah, so it was pretty good. I did get some body damage. I did mm-hmm. break my tail light.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, that was a fun little rock pile.
Yeah,
I'm excited to go back and try some additional
lines
there.
On there.
Yeah, it was really cool.
Yeah, so it's fun. That trip was...
You almost rolled there.
I did, coming off the other side of it. I uh-huh. came around a weird... I didn't realize that you're supposed to go up the final ledge. I went around it.
Yeah.
And thinking there was a way out on the other side. And I was like, oh, there's no way out. Okay, I just kind of... So I kind of went down. There was a big hole off to the side. And I was like, well, I don't have room to maneuver and get straight down in to straighten up. So I kind of went down it. And I dropped down into the hole that I didn't see there. And I almost went... over into the trees.
Yeah, over passenger side. So far down on his front passenger tire mm-hmm. that it like lifted his rear end up yeah. a little bit, and he gassed, gave it a little goose, and
that was the first.
Out.
That was the first time I've ever like swapped into a higher gear really quick and hit on the gas.
Yeah,
to pull myself out from thinking I was going to roll over forwards. But yeah, that was the first. Yeah, that was
funny. It was funny because you were like walking back up and you're like, I almost rolled. I'm like, yeah, I know, I saw you. And he's like, oh, I didn't think anybody saw that. I was like, yeah, I saw
yeah,
that.
It looked like everybody was watching Adam coming up.
Yeah.
And talking. And I was like, you guys, nobody saw me. I almost just rolled it there. And two people were like, yeah, we saw you.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, okay.
And then the rest of the trail out from there was, I mean, you're pretty much done at that point.
Yeah, you're done at that point. It's a little windy in between some trees. There's mm-hmm. one little fun section where you really kind of go down low or go high. And so the first three rigs, we went down low, and I hate going down that low because it really is really off camber.
Yeah.
And then you have to make a sharp turn and drop down off a good sized
yeah.
ledge.
Oh, I know. Yeah, exactly. Somebody was like off camber, and I'm like, oh man, I have my rooftop tent on my crawler.
Yeah.
And I'm already not feeling like it's super stable. Mm-hmm. I was worried.
Yeah, I was really worried going down that too. Just because I knew what was there. It didn't mm-hmm. scare me. I was just like going really, really slow. And I was like, the rigs in front of me did it just fine. I should be able to do it too.
Right.
But yeah, it was nerve wracking. I hate taking the lower line on that. I always go up high.
Yeah.
So
that's the way we went.
Yeah. Everybody behind me went up high and around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When the FJ Cruiser went through there, mm-hmm. there's kind of a little dip towards a big rock up at the top.
Mm-hmm.
And he somehow got sort of crooked in there
uh-huh.
and he lifted his tire off the ground like 2 feet and CJ or Christian was mm-hmm. there, and he was like I'm like, just really slowly forward, and it didn't lower, but it didn't raise anymore,
so you just kind of kept going.
He went for like, he moved forward like 5 feet with his tire off the ground, and then it leveled, like the whole truck leveled out, and yeah. He went down it fine. But it was funny, just like, you just seen a three-wheel push, you know,
yeah.
and I was like, whoa, that's kind of crazy.
Nice. So we got out, and from the end of Slick Rock, we came out Lake Alpine, and then we decided we were originally going to camp out on the trail at Slick Rock, and instead, we were so far ahead in the day, we decided to push all the way out to the, what is that valley right there? I forget what it's called. It's right at the start where the campground is for the start of Deer Valley, at the south end of Deer Valley, whatever that campground is. So we decided mm-hmm. we were going to do camp there that night. And so we went out to there, and it was fine. Set up camp there. They made chili for everybody. Power Tank had chili. And you guys had some fun with the hot sauces,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that was awesome.
We had another guy. Oh, that one dude, Adam, if you're uh-huh. listening to this. He goes, oh, no, I love spicy stuff. And so we're all, okay. And so I was like, hey, Jimmy loves spicy stuff too.
Hermit Valley.
Hermit Valley. That's where it is. Thank you. And so you guys added some hot sauce to your chili.
Mm-hmm.
And how did that go?
We added some chili to our hot sauce.
That's really what it turned into. Yeah.
It went well. I mean, we actually, Power Tank Tyler brought out The Last Dab from Hot Ones, the YouTube channel.
Mm-hmm.
And I have that hot sauce. I love hot mm-hmm. sauces, so I had that one.
Mm-hmm.
And so I knew what to expect.
Yeah.
And so I saw Adam, he'd put a few dabs out onto his chili, and I did equal or maybe a little bit more. And I was fine. Mine was hot, and so I went and added a little bit more chili
uh-huh.
to kind of dilute it, but mine was still super hot. And Adam was just dying.
He was dying. It was pretty funny to watch him because he's a really talkative dude.
Uh-huh.
And while we were eating, he was dead quiet.
Yeah. And I was like, at one point, I think he was like, you can tell this is hot because I'm not even trying to say a word. I'm just trying to get it down.
Trying to keep my composure so you guys don't think I'm a pussy.
Yeah. And then I asked him the next morning, I'm like, so how was the hot sauce? And he was like, it was just as bad going down as it was coming out.
Yeah.
And what did he say? He was like, it was one of those toilet experiences where you think you're done and then you stand up and then all of a sudden you gotta go again and then you sit back down.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the hot sauce experience was a good time that night. Nobody.
It was some great chili, too.
It was awesome chili.
They made some killer food.
It was really good chili.
I wasn't there the next night for the fajitas, but I heard they were outstanding also.
Really? Yeah. I was really bummed that I missed the next day for Deer Valley and the next dinner and everything. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it is what it is. But we had a campfire. And again, I brought my chainsaw because I took my chainsaw and everything. And you know what? It came in handy.
Yeah,
because nobody else had one, and so we had a fire.
You know what was funny was I was listening to the Mike and Max podcast.
Oh, yeah.
And they're doing some cool stuff. If you guys haven't heard of these guys, they're on like episode 5 of new mm-hmm. podcast coming out. They're located somewhere out in Arizona. They got some really cool rigs. Go check them out. They've got a cool podcast. But one of the things that was funny on the most recent podcast was they said that they were making fun of the snail trail guys for carrying a chainsaw along.
Oh, really?
And they needed one on their trail to clear a tree that had fallen over the trail.
In your guys' face.
And we used ours to cut a tree that dropped, cut it up, and use it for firewood on our power trip tank. So
see, it's amazing. You're like, chainsaws, they take up so much room, and you're like, God, I don't ever want to take a chainsaw with me. But every time I take it, I end up using it. I'm really glad I had this trip.
I think a lot of it is every time you have it, you want to use it.
That too. You find excuses to use it for sure.
Yes.
But you're like,
oh, we need to take the tire off the rim. Oh, I've got my chainsaw. For that.
Oh, man. Oh, but, yeah.
Yeah, so, we had a great fire that night. Mm-hmm. It was a good evening. We were passing around the whiskey. I spoke to Jason from Wheeling Wine and Whiskey. And
we got a great whiskey recommendation.
Got an awesome whiskey recommendation of Old Elk, which was outstanding.
It was fantastic. I'm usually not a straight whiskey or straight bourbon kind of guy. Mm-hmm. I like whiskey in mixed drinks.
Yeah.
Like, if I'm going to have a mixed drink, I would prefer it to be a whiskey. But this was pretty awesome.
It was really,
it was really good.
It was super smooth, not very oaky, no afterbite.
Mm-hmm.
I had a few people after I posted that photo on Instagram, they wrote me and they said, like, you should try this, and all these things. And one of the things that somebody suggested was Buffalo Trace, which is a well-known whiskey as well. And I had it this last weekend out on Labor Day while I was out camping. No comparison. It is, Old Elk is like twice as good in my opinion. It's also twice the price.
Okay.
So, or maybe like 10, it was, I think Buffalo Trace is like $26-ish and Old Elk, I bought it for 44.
That's it. So, I mean, 44 is a decent price for, I think the character of that whiskey and how much you got there from the bottle. Yeah. I thought 44 was reasonable. Good.
So we were handing the whiskey bottle around the fire, sitting back, relaxing after we ate the chili. And
you know what my highlight was from the fire?
The fact that you cut the wood with the chainsaw?
No, that was just kind of like allowed us to have a fire, which was exciting. But No, the highlight was when I made the comment about something about, you know, don't JKs have latte machines in them?
Uh-huh.
And somebody goes, oh, you know, it's funny you mentioned that. I was looking around. I was looking up Deer Valley and Slick Rock and these trails that we're on today. And this map, the website I got the map and the info and the trail reviews off of, you know, it's funny they're listing, you know, hey, this is the elevation. This is how much time it should take you to do this trail.
This is the closest gas station.
Yep. And for all the JK owners, this is the nearest coffee, the Starbucks stop, the last available Starbucks stop. Yeah. And I was like, hey, is that website by chance my off-road radio? And he goes, yeah, it is. I was like, that's me. Like,
yeah, that's my review. That's why I wrote this up. Yeah. And they were laughing so hard. They're like, no way.
Yeah,
I was reading all about it. And then the guy that was a JK owner, he was like, that was so funny. I was laughing at it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty. Was that Christian?
The police officer, cop guy. So.
CJ or Christian, who had a really nice red JK.
Yes. Yeah. So another one of my highlights for when we were camping out at Hermit Valley was when I went to air up, I got to use one of the power tanks because I didn't bring mine with me because mine's still having some regulator issues. And I got to finally use a power tank at full blast with my Morflate.
Oh, yeah?
And it literally, I aired up all four tires in under 40 seconds.
Wow.
It was awesome. From 3.5 PSI to 30.
Yeah.
So it was like 40, maybe 42. It was definitely under 45, but I was just like sitting there watching. I was like, wow, this is cool. So yeah, if you have a power tank or a CO2 tank, Morflate is amazing with it. It was the first time I had gotten to do a full testing with a power tank because mine is still having the regulator issues. So,
right. You drove home that night.
I did.
And how'd that go?
Stops. I had a few stops.
Okay. So, why, how, what, and what?
I just got too tired.
Oh,
I was dead
you
tired.
You left at like 10.
No, yeah. I left 10:30, something like that. And it's a 3-hour trip back. So I figured I was going to get home around 1 a.m., 1:30, mm-hmm. somewhere around there. I didn't get home until about 4 to 4:30.
Oh, dang.
So, So my I put a new battery tray in mm-hmm. for my battery and new tie downs for my battery, and the battery tie down came apart while we were wheeling. I didn't realize it, and the battery was moving around in the tray, and it knocked my headlights loose. My front passenger headlight. So the connection
uh-huh.
back there from the wiring harness that we put in.
So the light was turning off.
So anytime I had on the high beams, my front passenger headlight would jiggle and shake around. It would flitter on and off.
Oh, weird.
So maybe a quarter mile, half a mile from the Hermit Valley campground, I stopped and messed around with that for about half an hour, 40 minutes,
mm-hmm.
trying to see if I could reseat the connection or figure out where that was loose connected. And I didn't have a headlamp.
Oh,
a headlamp.
Right.
So I was like, it was a pain in the ass to hold the flashlight and try and move the battery around and everything. Mm-hmm. So eventually, I said, screw it. I'm just going to drive home without high beams.
Yeah.
And so, I drove home. And by the time I got to Murphy's...
Okay.
I was, like...
Nodding off.
Yeah. And coming down from Arnold to Murphy's, that windy road there, I was like, I can't... I'm not going to try and drive home. So, I found an empty parking lot in Murphy's and went to sleep for...
Good.
3 hours.
Good.
Something like 2 hours.
Yeah.
It was 2 hours. And then woke up, I was like, all right, I'm somewhat refreshed, and got mm-hmm. back on the road and headed back home, and made it home by 4 to 4:30, something like that.
Dang.
And then now that the 4Runner has been stolen and all my stuff is gone, I was like, I'm really OCD about it. After every trip, doesn't matter what time I get home,
yeah.
I'm going to empty the 4Runner.
Unload everything. Yeah.
So I got home and emptied the garage and made a bunch of noise emptying the 4Runner. And I was like, I'm sorry. Sorry, everybody, but I'm doing it.
Yeah.
And so emptied the 4Runner of, you know, my three possessions left. And called it a night and went to bed. But yeah, so you guys the next day mm-hmm. went up and did Deer Valley.
Yep.
So how was Deer Valley? Because that's another trail you have not done before.
Yeah. No, Deer Valley was fun. And mm-hmm. what I really liked, what was neat is the entrance to Deer Valley was mm-hmm. literally right where we camped.
Yes, it was.
I was like, okay, how far are we driving down the road? Where do we need to be? And they're like, no, it's just right here.
Yeah.
I'm like, what? And they're like, yeah.
It's where I was parked.
Pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah.
And And so we immediately jumped right into like what a gatekeeper-esque mm-hmm. thing. And I've always heard that Deer Valley is fairly easy. Mm-hmm. And that first section was pretty gnarly.
It's fun.
It's pretty, yeah. It's, I mean, it's not difficult, mm-hmm. You know.
But you do have to be careful.
But you do have to pick your lines.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and we did have to work with the FJ Cruiser and get him through a little bit. And
just the gatekeeper spot, or after you get past the gatekeeper, there's a sharp left-hand turn mm-hmm. that starts going uphill for a ways.
Yeah, he did okay there.
Okay.
Yeah, just the gatekeeper spot. Okay. And then the LJ didn't turn his lockers on, so he was having a little trouble. And then once he learned how to put it in four-wheel, turn his lockers on, he did fine.
I can get through that without any lockers just fine. Yeah. Yeah. Open.
And so, yeah, we wheeled up, and I had we were just taking our time and had fun. And the game plan was they wanted to leave camp at Hermit Valley. Mm-hmm. We'd wheel in a ways, turn around and come back.
Okay.
And so that was the game plan. And then, so we wheeled on, and there was good obstacles at the beginning. Mm-hmm. It was a lot of fun. And then it sort of got mellow, mm-hmm. Very scenic, lots mm-hmm. of really beautiful things out there. Mm-hmm. We were on a pretty, a gradual hillside that looked over the valley, mm-hmm. Over Highway 4. And it was just really gorgeous out there. And eventually we wheeled, there was a few spots that were pretty difficult, like big rocks with some good bypasses. Mm-hmm. And actually the FJ Cruiser took a bunch of the bypasses. Mm-hmm. And there's one where we got a radio that there was two rigs coming down at us. A few rigs were already ahead. We said, "Where are they at?" And they were saying like, "Oh, they're still ahead of us, but we see them." And we're like, "Okay, we'll catch up to you guys." So I drive up ahead, and then Steve is trailing me. He drives up ahead, uh-huh. and then the LJ gets high centered on this ginormous rock, right?
Okay.
And he was doing fine, but then the rig slid on the rock, and then uh-huh. it just put him in between a rock and a hard place. Literally, he was high centered, so his front tires weren't touching the ground, and he couldn't back up because there was a ginormous Volkswagen rock behind him.
Okay.
And so Steve turned around, drove down, and winched him forward off mm-hmm. of that scenario. They pulled off. By this time, the rig came down, mm-hmm. and the two rigs are coming down. Mm-hmm. And and another person joined. Two rigs joined us
just randoms?
For the trip. No, they were scheduled to meet up with us.
Oh, okay.
And I think I should explain them. One of them was a cool FJ80.
Oh, nice.
And it was on 35s, uh-huh. E-lockers, front and rear, really good setup. The other one was a second-gen Tacoma.
Okay.
He
was the solid axle one with
solid axle swapped.
Yes. So this guy is an amazing, really cool story.
Yeah.
So go ahead, continue.
I don't know his entire story, but the truck is a solid axle swap second gen Tacoma. It had to be on, I think it was on 37s. Mm-hmm. It had some decent tires, somewhere around between 35 and 37s. Mm-hmm. It was four linked in the front, mm-hmm. And then leaf springs in the rear, mm-hmm. and they kept the truck super low, and they kept it really low because the guy's paralyzed.
Yes,
paralyzed from like the waist down.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched him get up into the rig. He literally wheels his wheelchair up to the truck,
uh-huh.
grabs the handlebar or the oh shit handle on the A pillar, uh-huh. and does a one handed pull up.
No
into
way
into the truck.
What?
Yeah. I was like, whoa.
That's amazing.
It was really, really cool. And he had a device next to the steering wheel that he would push forward for the gas and mm-hmm. down for brakes. And it had like an orbital valve on it.
Interesting.
And so, because he couldn't use his legs or anything. Yeah. You know, he had no control under there. So he would, and it was an automatic. So he'd put it in drive. And then he would have one hand on the steering wheel and one hand on the gas brake, and he would uh-huh. either push it forward or go down.
Yeah.
And he had the Marlin doubler in there.
Yeah, the taco box?
Uh-huh.
Nice.
And so the rig was rad.
Yeah.
He had some rock rash on the passenger side trying to do a similar line to you on slick rock.
Okay.
In the brand new Tacoma or the newish Tacoma.
Nice. Yeah.
It was really, really cool. Let me grab his Instagram handle right now because it is worth checking out. It is so, so cool.
Yeah, he has a crane on the back of in the bed of his truck that he uses to store the wheelchair. So he will use that crane to pick up the wheelchair after he's in the truck in the cab in the driver's seat, and he'll move the wheelchair to the bed of the truck. And then when he gets out, he uses the crane to pull the wheelchair back out and sets it up, and then just drops out of the truck into the wheelchair. Super cool guy. I haven't met him yet, but I've heard a lot about his story. And from the owner of the CJ that broke his Dana 300, knows he helped him build that rig.
He did
all the build. So, yeah, I've heard a lot about the rig and a lot of that guy's story. So really inspirational.
And so, okay, so I found Brad's IG handle. It's Brad E. Carr, C-A-R-R. But he doesn't have many photos of the truck on there. But if you go to Candor Off-Road, that is the people that built the truck, and there are plenty of photos of that truck there, and it is rad. And when I was talking to him about how they built it, he was like, yeah, we did this install kit and it was way too high, so then we just started cutting things away to just so that it can be lowered and lowered and lowered, and eventually they started like notching frames and doing all this other work so they could just get it low. But it's a really cool rig.
Wow, that's so neat.
Yeah, it was really neat. Nice. Anyway, so we got to the river.
Mm-hmm. The first one?
The first crossing.
Okay.
And we stopped there and ate lunch and relaxed and hung out. And we sat there for an hour, if not more.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we were kind of packing up, I said, hey, I'm going to just continue down the trail and drive home.
Up to Blue Lakes and then
up
down.
Up to Blue Lakes and
88.
Down. Because the original plan was for us to continue through Blue Lakes, and then head down. So my co-pilot that day,
we positioned his
car above Jackson on Highway 88, with plans of coming down, and so they wanted to go down back four, and that means we would have had to go back and around and up, and then and then head back.
Yeah,
so it would just made a little bit more sense for us to continue on.
Yeah,
and so they said, oh, okay. And then they started thinking about it, and they're like, well, we're not very far to the end of the trail, and we could just drive through and then hit the highway and go out to Markleyville and just come around on and back on Highway 4.
Yeah.
And so that's what we all did. We all decided to drive out, and then we all hit the pavement, aired up. And when we aired up, they all aired up with the power tank, and I pulled out the Smittybilt and the Morflate.
Uh-huh.
And it took like four times longer than the power tanks.
Yeah.
I mean, the power tanks take 1 to 2 minutes,
Yeah. Well, per tire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And right. And so,
and they have monster valves too.
Yeah,
so
they're using
the monster valves at the high flows. Yeah.
Yeah. And Adam was like, what are you doing, dude? I'm like, this is the only way I have to air up my tires. And then Steve was like, so you're going to get a power tank? I'm like, yeah, I need one of those.
If they were really nice, they would have just let you use one of the guys that was done, use their tank with the Morflate. And since you already had it all hooked up, finish it up and 30
go
seconds
from there. We were just hanging around talking, and I was shooting a closing of a video, and we were just relaxing at that point.
Yeah.
So it was a good trail. The way out, we hit the other river crossing. We had some fun there, and a few rigs hit it pretty fast, so I caught some good video of that.
Okay.
And the rest of the trail out's pretty easy. That trail is definitely a lot more scenic.
Mm-hmm.
I was in like stock four-wheel drive low for a good chunk of that trail.
Yep.
There was a good little rock garden between the two river crossings. There was a good rocky section.
Section with a bypass to the right if you're coming from south to north up the trail.
Yeah.
The hard section's on the left.
And then so when we got done and tires aired up, we got out to 88. We said our goodbyes. They all drove east and I went west.
Okay.
And I got onto the freeway in normal gears, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I had a vibration.
Uh-oh.
I have a vibration.
I think that's from your buggy line on Slick Rock.
Yeah. So I could only go around 50 miles an hour.
Oh, no.
Well, and going up the hill wasn't bad because I couldn't go 50 miles an hour anyway because those hills are pretty steep.
Yeah.
But coming down the hill, I was like, oh, I've got to slow myself down. I've got to watch it. And just before we got to my buddy's house, I got pulled over.
No way.
Uh-huh.
Oh, no.
And and I was literally turning into like the road to turn like off of 88, turning onto the road to go to my buddy's house where my other friend's truck was. And he comes around the corner and he's like, "Do you know why I pulled you over?" And I was like, "Is it because of my taillight? Because I don't have a cover on the taillight?" And he was like, "Well, that. And you don't have a license plate."
Really? And
I was like, "Oh, it's in the bed of my truck. I'm so sorry. I have it on this little release so when I go off-roading, I can take it off and I don't damage it and I can put it in my bed.
And then put it back on once I'm off.
Yeah, when I'm done and I can put it back on and I just forgot to do that and I've been out wheeling and I broke my taillight. I just happened. I apologize. Yeah. You know, I'm going to get it fixed as soon as I get home," which I haven't done. And he was like, "Okay." And I was like, "Can I hop out of the rig and put it on?" And he's like, "Wait. Like, let me run. I have to run your IDs, you know, let me make sure that the vehicle's not stolen. Wait in the rig, please," and all this stuff. So I gave him all the paperwork and he came back. He's like, "Yeah, totally. You know, hop out, you know, put your license plate in. We'd appreciate that." And I said, "I'll tell you what, when I'm putting my license plate on, I'll put my mud flaps on too."
I was going to ask if you had done your mud flaps at that point.
Yeah, I totally blanked on that. Oh, I drove for like an hour or something. And it was funny because I knew it was going to happen because I had the rooftop tent behind me. I was totally illegal too. I had the rooftop tent behind me. So, and my door's off. So I had no rear view mirrors.
Oh, you had no mirrors at all.
No mirrors. Driver, passenger side doors, when they come off on the trucks, you know, there's no mirrors. Mm-hmm. And my rear view mirror in the cab was blocked by the rooftop tent.
Yeah.
And so, and just before the turnoff, there's this passing lane. Mm-hmm. And I was stuck behind this van, but I wasn't going to go much faster anyway. Mm-hmm. And so I pulled over behind the van and we were just cruising up. And I look behind me and there's lights like right on my rear end. And I'm like, why isn't this person?
Saw them?
And I couldn't see the person. But the thing was, I was like, and it was dusk. So like I could see the light.
Okay.
You know, and I'm like, why isn't this person passing me? Like, this is weird. So then when it merged back together and then I turned my blinker on to go left, to pull across the road and pull off, then the whole world around me turned blue and red and he lit me up. And I was like,
That's why
I thought that was a cop. Like, he's pulling me over for my taillight. No, he was pulling me over because I didn't have a license plate. So threw the license plate on, put the mud flaps on, drove to my buddy's house, dropped my buddy off, drove home slow, but it took me like a few hours to get home from there just because I couldn't go fast, but didn't have any problems. I expected when I drove through like Folsom area that a cop was going to pull me over again for not having the taillight or having the cover off. But I didn't have any problems. Got home fine.
Okay.
So
nice. So have you figured out what the vibration is? Is it your rear drive shaft?
I don't know. I haven't looked. I have a feeling it is.
You were sitting on your rear drive shaft for a little bit there. I was like, I remember looking at it and thinking, well, it doesn't look bent, but you do have a nice little spiral on it now from the rock.
So, yeah, that's probably it.
That'll be too bad because you just had that rebuild.
I just put that in
before this trip. This was the first trip on the rebuild.
Yeah. Well, Stakes and Stories was the weekend before.
Yeah.
And then Hellhole and then, Slick Rock, and I bent it. I am leaking some rear gear oil out of there, too. So, I was going to pull that off and do a reseal and check out, like, because I thought it might just be something in there. But I think it's the drive shaft.
Yeah.
So, I am going to trailer my rig to Barrett.
Okay.
And then just go, you know, take it normal on Barrett. Yeah. I won't have any problem. I only felt the issue when I was at road speeds.
Yeah.
So.
Nice. All right. Well, cool. That's about it. That kind of finishes up our weekends. Or Jimmy's weekends of wheeling and my one day of wheeling.
Yeah. I just want to say a huge shout out to Power Tank.
Huge shout out. That was a really fun trip.
That was a really fun adventure. A lot of fun trip. It was great hanging out with you guys. Like, I've met you once or twice, but never had a chance to like sit and talk and hang out with you guys.
Yeah.
Thanks for introducing us to all the other rigs. Everybody there was a lot of fun. Really cool guys. Great wheelers. Experienced wheelers. It was fun.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I definitely needed that trip. So like I was debating on whether or not to go on that trip because if I break anything, I wouldn't have the parts, I wouldn't have the tools to fix it all. And so I hate being that guy.
Right.
And so I was like, "Hey guys, I don't want to be that guy. I don't know if I should go." And they were like, "No, totally be that guy.
Yeah,
come along. This is the group to do it with if you want to be that guy, if you have to be that guy." And I was like, "Okay, cool." So I went on and I had a blast. It was great.
Yeah.
And it reaffirmed all of, you know, my intentions with the 4Runner and kind of what I'm going to do with the 4Runner, kind of what my plans are for the 4Runner. So
which
I
we'll
definitely
get into in another episode.
We'll get into it with another episode. I want to keep, you know, I keep going back and forth. Everyone's like, you need to do a low center gravity build. And I'm like, no, I like my belly pan height. And that this trip reaffirmed I'm going to keep a high belly pan clearance vehicle and as lightweight as I can. We'll get into what's going to happen with that. But yeah, so that was a fun trip. I definitely needed it. I'm glad I went. And big thanks to Power Tank for kind of talking me into going. So yeah. So that just about does it. That we're going to wrap up the show here for you guys. Thanks for listening and getting caught up with what we've been up to. The next episode we'll have is going to be a fun one. It's going to be, we have a lot of backlog of listener feedback as well. So these are kind of the two backlog episodes. I hope you guys had a lot of fun with the Harry Wagner interview. Mm-hmm. That was a lot of fun for us to go up and do and meet him. So if you haven't listened to it yet, go back and listen to episode 20 with the episode with Harry Wagner. And then I also, while I was gone out of state, I went back and redid the audio on and cleaned up a lot of the audio from episodes 1 through 9. So episodes 1 through 9 have kind of been revamped and nice. Redone. So there's our updated, the new music is on there for that we started in episode 10. The audio is all cleaned up. I know we had a couple episodes there where the audio was a little wishy-washy and Jimmy would come out really quiet, or I think the Rovicon one, some of the guys came out quiet on the Rovicon episode, but that's all cleaned up. It's great audio. So if you didn't listen to an episode because you couldn't stand listening to it, go back. It all sounds great now. So I think that's about it. Yeah.
Sounds good to me. I don't know what else we got to talk about for this section.
Hopefully nothing else, because we've talked long enough and we split up episodes so that we could do this and have a more reasonable times frame. But anyways, so with that, my friend, and for all of my friends out there, let's see if my good buddy here, Jimmy, has any final words for you guys.
If you don't know what Power Tank is, go check them out.
Definitely check them out. And with that, my friends, keep crawling.